Okay. Right. So I had thought a bit about 2026. And today and next week, I want to go through a particular prayer in the New Testament. And we've thought a lot, haven't we, over the last year about going deeper and wider and higher. And we've talked particularly in the last few weeks about going higher in prayer. And so today I want to think about one particular prayer that Paul prayed and started off, whether we get very far or not, I don't know. But I think it's, as I was asking the Lord what to speak on in January, this is what came to my heart. And so I thought, okay, well, Lord, let's really look at this prayer and unpack it a bit and see what we can find out of it and see the blessings that are in it. And it is Ephesians chapter 3, very famous prayer. And so let's read it together. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a great prayer, isn't it, eh? This is a prayer from a man who doesn't get to go to one place week after week after week, because he's travelling around so much, apart from the time he spent a year and a half here and he spent time. But he wrote to these Ephesian people. He said, this is my prayer for you. And I mean, you could finish, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, you know? But it's really his heart. And I suppose, as I was contemplating it, and reading through this prayer, I thought, actually, it's my heart for you as well. Okay, so let's have a look at it and see what we can get and glean out of it. So first off, we know that Paul's the one who's speaking, and so it's obvious, I know, but who is Paul praying to? Okay, we have in these days, don't we, the possibility that people pray to all sorts of different deities and gods and all sorts of things. And so many people have got their own ideas of, oh, you know, well, I said a prayer this morning. And you think, well, what did you pray? They can't define it. But he is praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay? So, this is the starter of all this. He's praying to the Father. And for you and for me, this is really important, okay, that we have a Father in heaven. Now, you might say, well, Matt, this is pretty basic stuff. Well, it is basic, but you know, we've had this picture lots of times over the last few weeks, didn't we? We've got a loving Heavenly Father. Okay, we've got someone who wants to embrace us, like Sue was saying in her little testimony, the fact that he wants to hold on to us. We've got a Father that wants to hold our hand to guide us through. And when you think about this particular description of him, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, so I want us to look a little bit about families, okay, to begin with. Okay, now, at the front of my Bible, is it this one or the one at home? I think it might be the one at home. No, it's this one. This used to be my mum's Bible. And she, very kindly, you know, we've got the different family trees and everything. And here I've got a husband's family tree. So this was Leslie Jones. That's my dad, brother, sisters, father. So I know that my grandfather's name was Charles. Okay, he died when I was about 3. So I didn't really know him at all. And of course, in those days, very few photographs. So I haven't actually got a photograph of my grandfather. But here we got Charles. He had Leslie, one other son, and then 4 daughters. And so the Barrow name actually gets as far as here to Matthew. And if my brother has got a son, so that, great. The Barrow name will go on, okay, because of my brother's line. But I'm really grateful for one of my aunties. Her name is Annie, and I think I met her once, but it wasn't until I was at Bible school that I discovered, I knew she was a missionary, but I didn't know where, and I discovered that she was a missionary in North Africa, Spain and North Africa, Morocco, with her husband, and I thought, that's who was praying for me, because no one else in my family was particularly, I mean, Dad and Mum went to church, but someone in the family was praying for me. It's great. And she died before I grew up, really. So about, I met her husband a little bit. But it's what Paul says is, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Once again, it's the name. We talked about the name, didn't we? The name of Jesus a few weeks ago. But once again, it's the name. It's the name of the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole family. So if we were to look in the Old Testament, we would find this family tree. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and it goes on and on and on. And the Jewish people really, really hold on to their heritage. Okay, let me give you an example. In the book of Ezra, he writes this. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zechariah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. Imagine that. He could trace his line all the way back down to Aaron. And Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, could do the same. They were really holding on to their heritage. Okay? But now look at this. And I'm not saying anything bad about it. I think for the Jews, that is their line. And they really hold on to it. Now, look at this. Luke chapter 1. In a certain place, and it came to pass when he was praying, that's Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I think Jesus was wanting people to own God as their father. Okay? Now, think about that. When I was with Mehmet and Kim before Christmas, we were talking a little bit about this, about the fact that someone can be in your family line, but actually, they're still your brother if they're Christians. When my dad gave his heart, he really moved towards the Lord in the latter years of his life, and he held on to the light that he knew, and my dad became my brother because we both have the same father in heaven. Now, this is where I've got a wife. Some of you have got wives. Some of you have got husbands. They're your brother. They're your sister. Because we all hold the head. Yes? We all hold the head. If we've got family members that are Christians, they become our brother and sister. Okay? It gets a bit confusing, doesn't it? The fact that somebody who bore us, B-O-R-E, who bore, can be our sister. But Paul says about the whole family in heaven and earth, and we're all named by the Father. So that's everyone in all over the earth, in heaven and all over the earth. So whether you are from Africa, whether you are a child in Africa, whether you are a Thai, whether you are, I think that's Chinese, I'm not certain, or whether you are Mongolian, or wherever you come from, everyone can hold the head. Do you see what I'm getting at? All right? The fact that our heritage as Christians doesn't go back generation, generation, generation. Someone once said, God has no grandchildren. Okay? Because he's father to all his children. All right? Yes, we appreciate, don't we? I mean, I appreciate my dad now. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. I appreciate him. I still think about him on his birthday. And when somewhere I've got the last remaining thing that was his in my keeps box. And I appreciate him. I appreciate my mum. But he was my brother. She is my sister. Together, we can, what does it say about husbands and wives? Heirs together of the grace of God. Okay? And each one of us, as brothers and sisters, we are heirs together of the grace of God. So the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we all have one Father. Okay. End of part one. Part two. Who is Paul praying for? Sorry, what is Paul praying for? We could say who. Well, it was the Ephesian church, wasn't it? But actually, that prayer helps us as well, doesn't it? But what is he praying for? He's praying according to the riches of glory. Okay? Now, we know, don't we, that the scripture that says things like, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Okay? And I thought, where can I find a picture of cattle on 1,000 hills? These aren't cattle, these are wildebeest. Just about at migration time. I've never seen it. I wish I had done, but I've never. But South Kenya, they flow. It's like so many of them. But God owns the cattle, the riches of his glory. This is a bit of just a little thing, really. He says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And, of course, a lot of his glory we don't see, do we? I mean, we see the creation around us. We see those sorts of things. But the glory, the word, it means something like the showing forth of attributes and ways. The showing forth of the way he is, the showing forth of what he does. And there are riches for his glory's got riches. Now, sticking with the cattle on a thousand hills, these guys, you might recognize them, are Maasai warriors. Now, the Maasai warriors believe that every cow on earth is theirs. So they have no trouble in taking other people's cows. Okay? It's just the way it is. And then there's another tribe in eastern Uganda called the Karamojong. And they have the same thoughts. And so they actually raid. They go over to the Maasai and raid their cattle, and the Maasai go over and raid theirs. But they believe that it all belongs to them by inheritance. I wonder if you've ever thought about the fact that the riches of his glory could come to us. Okay? Now, just think for a moment about the glories of heaven. Okay? Think, I mean, when you've read the book of Revelation, and you've read about all the amazing things that go on there, and you think about the New Jerusalem, and the Lamb being the temple, and no need of a sun, and all those sorts of things. Amazing things. Okay. I once took our street boys here. Okay. This is the capital center south of Nairobi. And I was taking them three at a time. I was there for 6 weeks and on this particular occasion. And I was took three of them swimming. And then we went to there to have a Wimpy burger and chips. And one guy called Kennedy, he walked into this place and he looked up. He said, "I must be in heaven." Because he thought it was so wonderful. I mean, imagine living on the street, and then you get to... I mean, okay, it was a couple of years before I took him to this place, but yeah, I must be in heaven. What's God got in heaven? The riches of the glory, okay, that is for you and for me. And in fact, think about the Lord Jesus. We've thought about it particularly with Christmas, but here is a scripture from Philippians that talks a little bit about this sort of thing. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. John Wesley says he emptied himself of all but love. There's amazing things in heaven. The glory, the riches of his glory. And if we look at that verse again, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And then he goes on to say things. So Paul is praying that God would grant us according to the riches of his glory. Okay? Now, I don't know what you're like when it comes to Christmas presents. Okay? I don't know whether you think, well, I've got a budget, and it's 50 quid, and I've got to fit everyone's present into 50 quid. Okay? Or whether you think, the sky's the limit. I don't care. I'm going to get whatever my family want. the credit card can handle it. I don't know what your attitude is towards Christmas presents. For so many years, when we were a young family, it was, well, we've only got this much. You know, the girls will tell you, in their stocking on Christmas Day was a banana, a tangerine, a book, a thing of chocolate pennies, and other bits and pieces. But they grew up every single year. They had the same. They knew, oh, and a roll of sellotape, because they all love sellotape. So they were all growing up. That was their expectation. I mean, we got them gifts as well, but that was their stocking on Christmas morning. We didn't have very much. And so we did what we could for what we had. But here is God saying, I've got the wealth of heaven, the glories of heaven, and I want to impart to my people according to those riches in glory. Okay. What does he want to impart to you and to me? I can see it's getting through more of this than I thought. One, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Goodness me, what a statement. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now, we've all got an outer person and an inner person. Okay, right. And for some of us, the outer strength isn't as what it used to be. Okay, for some of us, you might think to yourself, well, actually, inside isn't particularly very strong at the moment. Which is why I love verses like, when I am weak, he is strong. My grace is sufficient for you. Verses like that, they supersede what we're going through inside, don't they? Yes? To be strengthened with might, okay? Strengthened. To be empowered. To be increased in vigor. We needed that. Jason and I needed that this week. We needed a bit more vigor. With might. That might is the word for the Spirit's energies. The dunamis, power of God, that we would be empowered by the Spirit's ability through the Spirit in our inner man. Okay? Now, these things are not, oh, for the future, pie in the sky stuff, when I get more mature as a Christian. Paul is praying for the Ephesians now, and you could say, I'm praying for you now, that you would be strengthened with the Holy Spirit's energies through his Spirit in the inner man. That you might really know that strengthening. Oh, but I'm no good at these sorts of things, Matt. I've got no. Let him do it. We said earlier, didn't we, about the fact that Jesus is building his church. And if he is building his church, all we've got to do is obey and do. Yeah? Let him be the strengthener of you. Okay? Let him be the strengthener. Okay? Second, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith. Do you ever sit there when you're by yourself and quiet and think, I wonder if God's really here? Am I making it all up? Or are you thinking, I don't particularly feel anything at the moment, But I know by faith that Christ is in me. Yeah? I know by faith that he is in me. And this dwell, this is a permanently reside. Okay? As I said, we've said goodbye to Jason a few times, but this Wednesday, he becomes a permanent resident of Wales. Okay? He does. You don't have to change your passport, obviously, for Wales, but he becomes a permanent resident down there. Okay? Jesus wants to be a permanent resident in you. Not just a fleeting blessing here and there, but a permanent resident. Lord, I believe. I believe, Lord. This is what you want. Come. I don't know about you this morning. When we were singing some of the songs this morning, I was thinking, these words are so good that we're singing. So I thought, oh, this is really good. Oh, Lord, this is what I want in my life now. Kin, could you put up the We Are the Church, You Are the Hope in that one, Build Your Kingdom Here, just for a second, and that second verse. That's right. We seek your kingdom first. Okay, we know that that's right, because all these things will be added to you when you seek his kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Lord, I'm not satisfied with what I've got. I want more. Okay? Refuse to waste our lives. It's so easy, isn't it? For some of us, not all of us, because some of us don't do this sort of thing, but for some of us, we sit there and go, and the next thing we know, half an hour's gone. So easy, isn't it? Just to scroll through your phone and just keep scrolling and keep scrolling. You're our joy and prize. Now look at this. To see the captives' hearts released. Don't we want to see that this year? Yes? In people? The hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. I thought, Lord, that for me, that those two lines there, I thought, yes, Lord, come and do that in this church this year. Yes, let's see captives set free. Let's see the hurt and the sick and the poor at peace. How do we get there? We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. Lord, I read it this morning. He that hangs on to his life, this is Matt paraphrase, the person that hangs on to their life will lose it. But the person that loses their life for Jesus' sake will find it. Lord, I want to lay down my life for your cause, Lord. Amen. Can we go back to the PowerPoint, please, Kin? Number three, that you being rooted and grounded in love. It goes on, it says more, but rooted and grounded, okay? These are foundation words, okay? We could think about the picture we saw over a year ago now, about the trees with their roots going down. Our roots have got to go down into God. Yeah? Rooted. Becoming stable. Okay? Grounded. When we dug the foundation back in 24 for that building in Nakuru, we went down over a metre. We laid 450 to 500 mil of concrete. We wanted it to be on a really solid foundation, that building. And how much more your life and mine to be rooted and grounded, here it says, in love. Oh, Lord, this is where I want to be. In you, in your love, Lord. It's where I want my roots to be. Oh. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that we might take hold of. That's what this comprehend means. It means to take, to seize, to get hold of eagerly. Okay? This isn't a take it or leave it. This is a take it situation. Take eagerly and possess with all the saints. So in one sense, we can do it by ourselves, but we're doing it together. Yeah? What is the width and depth and length and height? Okay? You remember that old children's chorus? So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get round it, oh wonderful love. That goes back, takes us back, doesn't it? Can we ever get to the end of the width, to the end of the depth, to the end of the length, to the end of the height of God's love? No, we can't. I think it happens to me sometimes, so it may well happen to you. But, you feel God's given you something new about his love. Think, oh, now I really get it. But actually, we're only just on the surface, aren't we? Okay. We're only on the surface. And in fact, really, when you talk about the love, this love of God that is wider than anything we could think and deeper than anything we can think, higher than anything, longer than anything we can think. Well, actually, perhaps it's better just to say infinite. There's no end to God's love. Okay? But we can it says that we may be able to understand, to grasp eagerly with all the saints this love and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, this in itself is a really strange sentence. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, which goes beyond knowledge. Paul, what are you saying here? You're saying that no one can really know the love of Christ, but he said, I'm praying that you'll know it. Okay? There's that fully knowing. Okay? To know absolutely. You think about the guy in John chapter 9, and he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But this one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. So you can have all the degrees in the world, but the love of Jesus is far beyond that. I could ask you, what do you know? But as I said, this guy in John chapter 9, he said this, but I know this, I was blind and now I can see. Can we say, this one thing I know, God loves me. It's simple, okay? I don't want to be simplistic, but if there's one thing that we can start this year with, it's God's love. Yeah? If there's one thing we can start the year with, it's God's love. And you might say, it's so big, I'm never going to get to the end of it. You're right. You'll never get to the end of it. And we'll get to heaven, and we'll be standing in God's presence, and we'll go, of course. Why didn't I see it before? Mary, the mother of Jesus, started it, didn't she? It says in Scripture that she held these things in her heart. All the things that the angel said to her, all the things that she went through her life when she heard what Jesus was speaking when he was older, She says she held them in her heart. Oh, might we hold the love of God and the things that God wants for you and for me, that we might hold it in our hearts. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to whiz through the rest of this, I think. Last bit here, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's where we started, wasn't it? You might be filled with all the fullness of God. How much fullness is there? Okay, we talked about the riches of his glory in heaven, the unlimited resources, and it says that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, there was a professor, and he got in front of his students, and he got a jar, and he put some rocks in it. And he said to the students, is it full? They said, yes, it is full. He said, okay. Then he got some pebbles, and he poured in the pebbles, and they filled in the gaps between the rocks. Then he said, is it full? Yeah. He said, ah. Then he got some sand, and he poured in the sand, and it filled in between the gaps between the pebbles and the rocks. And it was full. He said, is it full? And they said, yes. And then he got a coffee jar, and he poured the coffee in. And he said, do you know what? He said, this goes to show there's always room for coffee. How full do you think you are of the fullness of God? How full do you think you are? Now, if the sand went in first and then the pebbles, the rocks would be, it wouldn't work. But there it is like that, look. Everything filled in together. All the fullness of God. So I'm pretty full. Well, good. But God wants to fill you with all the fullness of God. These are God's promises. We could go back and look at... We're not going to, because we're out of time now. But I just want to read that prayer again. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This isn't a New Year's resolution. I'm going to make sure that by December the 31st, I'm going to be full of all the fullness of God. This is a promise of God for you and for me. He wants to fill us. Okay? He wants to fill us. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord, when we think of all of heaven's resources and all the fullness of God, Lord, our minds can't get round it. We can't think about what you have in heaven, the glories that are there, the riches of your glories, your fullness, Lord. Our finite minds can only think of little bits and pieces. But Lord, we want to say to you at the beginning of our year, come. Lord, for my part, Lord, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. So I say, come, Lord, to me. Come to my brothers and sisters. Lord God, Lord, that we might know you dwelling in our hearts by faith. That we might know the rooting and grounding of our souls, that we might know that love of Christ that passes knowledge. Oh, Lord God, we look to you, precious Father, for these days. Lord, for this year, that you'd come and fill. And as we thought about that song we sung about the hurt, the sick, the poor, the captives, Lord, come and do these things in our church this year, we pray. Lord God, we want to be able to get to the end of the year and say, we're not the same. We're not the same as we were in January, because you've changed us, you've moved in us, you've filled us to greater ways, Lord. So come and do this, we pray. Amen, Lord. Amen.